Well, good morning, everyone. As John said, my name is Stephen Holmes, and my nickname is Sherlock. People still call me it today. I'm here with my wife, Annette. Just a wee bit about myself. We've been in Dundee now 5 years. We were part of Glasgow Elam Church, there serving on staff. Probably for about 20, just over 20 years, thought that that would be where we would settle and retire. but God had other plans for us and brought us to Dundee. And we are just so blessed by just living in Dundee. We have three children, in case you want to know, five grandchildren. Next year, we celebrate 40 years married, so it's been a journey, it's been an adventure, but God has just so blessed us. If there was one thing that you would know about us, about Annette and I, we are passionate about seeing people encounter the presence and power of God in their life. We hunger after God's presence, because it's God's presence that changes our lives. That is the truth. It is God's presence, it's prayer. I read a book many years ago called God Chaser by Tommy Tenney, and it just gripped me. Not that I'm chasing God and not being able to catch him, but we are just hungering after God more and more and more. And we are seeing God just change people's lives, change our lives. You would always think that God is there much more to change. Well, there is. There's always change for our lives. So that's just a wee bit about me. This morning, I want to bring you greetings from Dundee Elam Church there. Probably now three quarters of the way through. We start at 10:30 on a Sunday morning, only because parking restrictions start at 1 o'clock, so people didn't want to pay to be listening to me on a Sunday. So we had to finish early so as that we don't have to pay parking. I want to thank you, Andrew, for inviting me to come and speak today. It was 4 years ago when I last spoke here. As I was saying to John, must have made an impression. I've been invited back. You know, this morning, I want to just share what's on my heart. You know, I could come and just bring a preach, but I wanted just to share what's on my heart. Again, one of the things that you will discover about Annette and I, we wear our heart on our sleeves. We are just two people who came from a housing scheme called Castle Milk. There was at that time the biggest housing scheme in Europe, and just grown up there. I shared a room with four others, my sisters, my brothers, so there was five of us in one room. And you know, and even at that time, as I got into my teenage years, I felt the call of God on my life. And God, I just sensed that call. One of the things we feel God has commissioned us to do is to encourage God's people. And you know, as we look back on our lives, as we have said yes to God, he has just taken us on an adventure. You know, to take someone from a housing scheme so afraid to speak to anyone, do you know what I mean? So shy, but yet to come and bring God's word, it is God. It is God. I want to share this morning a bit about what Annette and I sense that God is saying to the church today, not just this church, not just Dundee Elam Church, but the church. And then I'm going to just share just what I feel God has given me for this church. And then at the end, we're just going to wait on the Holy Spirit and just really believe God wants to speak and to minister to us, because encountering the Holy Spirit is what we need for our lives. You know, as was shared, these are difficult times. hard times for everyone. You know, COVID restrictions. Who would have thought that our churches would be shut down? As you know, that was a learning curve for us. You know, as you come into a city and just to lead a church, and then the following year, or a couple of years, restrictions, churches closed, now having to be thrown into broadcast and cameras and lights. You know, and as I looked at many of the other churches, and they've got the cameras and the lights, and Annette and I are there with an iPhone on, and you're just thinking, God, is a church going to survive? But we want to say God has, really, we believe the church has went deeper. We have come to a place where we've had to dig in and go deeper with God. Churches have been hit. We are living in tough times. This word will get encouraging, so don't worry. We are. I think there is a fear just running rampant through our nation, through our communities. Do you know, even in my own family, my mum just so wrapped up with fear, scared to come out the house in case she catches COVID. Do you know, and it's just even when you come and visit, have you got a cough? Have you got a cold? Have you got this? Mum, I'm okay. I've tested negative. My granddaughter, 8-year-old, do you know, so wrapped up in fear at what is happening in our world. And sad to say, fear is creeping in and is in the church. Is in the church. And as we have been praying and asking God, God, what are you saying to us as the church? We believe God has been saying, this is not a time to shrink back, to hold back, but to press in and trust in Him. I believe, we believe, this is the church. This is the time to rise up, to shine in the darkness that is happening in our world. One of the things that God has been talking to us about was the Kairos time. You know, we are so caught up with chronological time. Days, minutes, hours. Even as I preach today, 4 hours. chronological time. But God works on a Kairos time. He is an opportune time, and we believe this is a time for the church. This is an opportune time. Great, the stories are happening across. Prayer is changing things. Prayer is changing circumstances. And I want to encourage you, as I will later on, just about keeping that encouraging to pray for Ukraine, Russia, the nations. Pray for our own country, our own communities. This is not a time to shrink back. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 39 says, we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Is there an amen? Is there? I just love, and I know my wife loves the Message translation more than I do. But this is what that says. But we are not quitters who lose out. Oh no, we will stay with it and survive, trusting God all the way. You know, if we are going to get through these times, and to say troubled times are part of God's plan, it tells us in God's word. Jesus himself says, in this world you will have much trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so we have to, I believe, be in faith. And it's where our focus is. It's where our focus is. I just love quotes. A.W. Tozer, I came across that, and again, that has just gripped me. A scared world needs a fearless church. A scared world needs a fearless church. We have a scared world, church. We have a scared world. We have a scared world. Even in our neighbours, as we talk to them, they are so, so fearful and just looking just for some comfort, for some hope. And we, the church, are the hope of the world. We are the church, the hope of the world, because we are Jesus' hands and feet. We are the message of hope for our neighbours, for our friends, for our families. Many people we have seen in our lives have settled. You know, when we came to Dundee Elam Church, many people had settled that this is this is all that's going to be. And so just settling for God's best, or settling for less than God's best. But as we have just saw God stirring in people, stirring their hearts, that there is more. Come on, say to yourself, there is more. Tell yourself, there is more for me. Yeah, and I'll keep doing this just to check that you're awakened. Okay. Many people have turned back. Many people have turned back. Many people have said in their life, this is too hard for me. It's just getting so tough. I just can't go on anymore. And these times have reinforced that. And it has, I'll tell you, it has been tough times. Do you know, even in leading a church, there is times when Annette and I have thought, God, give us a strength to keep going. Give us a strength to keep going. God, is there going to be a church left at the end of this troubled times? And God just refocuses us back on to who He is. Who He is. Many people have just drifted. Just drifted in their life. Many people are just aimlessly just going through life, hoping that there is something better. But three things that God had given us for the church, and definitely for, well, certainly for our church, for Dundee Elam Church, and this is what we are praying through this year. We felt God was saying it's time not to do church, but to be the church. Do you know, as a pastor, I get so caught up and wrapped up. How do we do church? I have read books, hundreds of books. How do we do church? How do we disciple? How do we increase? How to grow a church? How to grow a church to 1,000? How to grow a church to 100? Leadership. And I have come to a place where I am exhausted with reading books. Let me say that reading is great. It's great to get some knowledge. But we just felt a challenge by God that it's time to come before Him and time to be the church to our nation, to our communities, to our cities. It's time to be the church. God's presence and power. And the first thing that God has told us to press into is to be the supernatural church. You know, that can seem quite flowery. Or let's just try and motivate the people saying we're a supernatural church. But you know, the book of Acts was a supernatural church. It encountered the power and the presence of God. People were saved. Peter, as he spoke, 3,000 people were saved. You know, signs and wonders and healings and miracles were happening. Generosity in the church. People were selling stuff and just giving it to those that had need. Let me tell you, that is supernatural. Because naturally, we don't want to share or give or be over generous. We want to hold. And even in these difficult times, when there's threats of job loss, when there's threats of the prices going up, we want to hold on to our stuff. And I believe if we are going to see a move of God, if we are going to see the church rise up, it's got to be through our generosity of time and money and just ministering compassion to people. The supernatural church. My wife is just, she's going through a season of decluttering. Is anyone into decluttering? Every time I come home, there's bags in the hallway. Stephen, can you take those to the secondhand shop? And after I take it to the car and rummage through just to see what is being thrown out. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. And as I sneak it back into the house, there is bags again. A decluttering. Minimizing, as Annette calls it. But we believe that God is decluttering the church. Even in these times of restrictions and when the church has been going through COVID, one of the things that God has been showing us is that He is decluttering the church. Why? Because we have added so many things into the church, ways, methods of doing things. And I believe it has got in the way. Now, I'm a method person. You know, I love plans and I love strategies and I love methods. But there is a lot of times we build stuff into church. You know, and it just clogs up. We believe this is a time for just stripping back. Stripping back. And we have saw that in Dundee Elam Church. God has just stripped right back. Do you know, even as we press into prayer, and God instructed us to start a weekly prayer meeting in the church every Tuesday night. And I thought, God, we are busy. We've got something on in Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. I says, we can't do a weekly prayer meeting. Let's do it monthly. And God says, do it weekly. You know, since we have did that, we have seen so many changes in the church. And we have saw a stripping back. We've had to cancel some things just to focus in on prayer. Because prayer is the way that we are going to see change. E.M. Bounds, this is what he says. What the church needs today is not more methods or new organizations, but men and women filled with the Holy Spirit, used by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men and women. Is there any men and women here today? Is there anyone here today? You know, God uses men and women filled with the Holy Spirit. We take his presence wherever we go. So the supernatural church is one of the things that we sense God is saying for the church to be. The other one is a loving church, loving God, loving each other, and loving our world. You know, our world needs compassion. Our world needs hope. Our world needs kindness. You know, I was amazed just even at when you look at the war in Ukraine, and it talked about Poland, and there was one woman who walked up and down with a toddler in her pram, up and down a train station, just looking for Ukrainians that she could take home to her house. And she found a husband and a wife and two children and took them home and already had like six people living in her house. She was just wanting to show the kindness to people. And this is a time for the church to be a loving church. And more than ever, the church to be a praying church. Seeing things happen through prayer. Do you realize prayer changes things? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? We have saw so many things. You know, we have saw healings through prayer. Just constantly just praying all the time. And you know, for a lot of the times, one of the things that God has challenged Annette and I at the start of restrictions was to take 15 minutes and go online and just pray for the sick. Not laying any hands on anyone. And it's now 2.5 years that we have been doing that. And we have saw people healed of cancer. You know, and it's just like, God, how does that work? But it is the power of prayer. It's the power of prayer. God has asked us to pray about prodigals coming back. And we did that. And, you know, people have just turned up at the door of the church. Last time I came to this church, 35 years ago. And I just sense God just saying, it's time to get back. How does that happen? It is prayer. It is prayer. So, I'm going to start preaching now. But as we read and as we listen to God's word, three things I want you to be pondering and asking yourself. What changes do I need to make in my life? Because to see God's power and presence come to our lives, yes, it's his presence, it is his power, but there's a part of our lives where we need to align and posture to encounter God. What areas of my life do I need to realign with God's word? And what is the next step? What is a step of faith God is asking me to make? What is the step of faith that God is asking me to take? The word that I just felt just to share with you today is from Romans chapter 12. You have a Bible there, you can turn to it. Romans chapter 12. One of my favourite chapters. I'm just going to read two verses from it. From verse 12. This is the verses that I felt. And if you need a title for this message, I want to say it would be Keep On Keeping On. Keep on keeping on. Do you know that phrase I have kept for about 2.5 years. Do you know when the first restrictions came and the church was locked down? Do you know me as a pastor started to panic? How are we going to get the offerings? What about the money? What about the people? God, what am I going to do? And you know, as I still went into the office because I was the only one in the office there. And every week, an envelope came through the letterbox of the church with 200 quid in it and a note. And all it said was, keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. The following week, envelope, 200 quid, keep on keeping on. The following week, who is this person, God? I'll tell you, I tried to find out who it was. I waited at that office thinking, it's normally a Monday. No. Into the office, kettle on, come back, envelope. I still don't know who it is, but that more than the £200, that note, keep on keeping on. And I believe this is a word for us as the church to keep on keeping on. Romans 12, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the lost people who are in need, practice hospitality. I think one version says, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the lost people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Have you ever lacked something? Have you ever lacked something? I'll tell you, I've lacked many times. You know, the times I've come to God, I don't know how to get the church motivated. God, I lack wisdom. God, I lack just ideas and having to come before God. You know, there is times when we lack. You know, remember the story of Jesus turning the water into wine and the wine ran out. So, I mean, a wedding and the wine runs out. And you know, it really showed us about our life that there's times in our life when we can run out. We can run out of patience. We can run out of energy. We can run out of courage. We can run out of hope. We can run out of faith. And we need just that replenishment in our spirits and in our lives. And there's one person that can do that, and that is Jesus. That is Jesus. Bible talks about a lack of faith, lack of self-control, lack of wisdom, lack of courage. Romans 12, Paul talks about being living sacrifices just there at the beginning, not conforming to the pattern of this world. Do you know, for the church, we can get so caught up, can't we? Do you know, we watch the news, listen to the news, look, social media, and we can just see what's going on in our world. And it's heartbreaking what is going on in our world. You know, but we can get so caught up with the fear and just the anxiousness. You know, one lady in our church came to me at the prayer meeting and said, "Stephen, I've had to turn my television off from the news. It's just making me anxious." We have to be informed so that we can pray. But we have been challenged and encouraged to be the church. And it takes a change in our thinking. A change in our thinking. A change in our attitude. How we see the circumstances in our world, in our communities. How we see other people. How we see ourselves. How we see ourselves. And Paul goes on talking about spiritual gifts. We all have gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, for the building up of the body of Christ, you have a gift. You have a gift for the body of Christ to help build others up. And then Paul talks in verses 9 there in chapter 12 about genuine love. Not thinking of yourself more highly than you ought. You know, one of the things God challenged me in, you know, I went through a tough time. And God says, "Stephen, your problem, you want to be famous." You know, growing up, I wanted to be an actor. I knew I was set for the stage. But God had a different stage for my life. I wanted to be Clint Eastwood. You know, I wanted to be an actor. When I became a minister and was now leading a church, I wanted to prove to the world that Stephen Holmes could build a church. I wanted to prove to Elam, who we are part of, that Stephen and Annette could build a church. And God says, "Stephen, you want to be famous. You want to be famous." And I had to come to a place and be honest with myself. And it took me 4 months to answer a question that God gave us, or gave me. He says, "Stephen, do you want to be known by people in the public, or do you want to be known by me in the private?" And that freaked me out. Because what if nobody heard about Stephen Holmes? I'm just being honest. I wanted to be known as someone who did something. And God was saying, "It's me. It's God that builds the church. And it's better to be known by Him." And I had to go on a journey of being in the private place with God. And you know, if nobody ever hears about Stephen Holmes, so what? It's not about me. It's hard to believe it's taken me all my life, 35 years. No, sorry, nearly 60. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Do you know that word, zeal, enthusiasm, talking about like water on the boil. That is what that fervor talks about. Enthusiasm, if you split that word up, enthusiasm is in theos, in God. Do you know, and if we are going to have that fire of enthusiasm, it's got to be in Christ. And it's got to be in God that that happens. Encountering God. If we are going to be the supernatural church that God has called us to be, we have to encounter a supernatural God. And you know, I have had to get less busy doing stuff and come before God in prayer and coming and knowing Him. You know, we have a room that we have just set aside where we just go in, and it's a quiet room, we call it. And on the wall we put there about 3 years ago, "Be still and know that I am God." And it was only until probably about last week Annette and I were talking, I thought, you know, I've just realized that these words are more prophetic than what I have realized. Because if we are going to know our God, we've got to be calm and be still in His presence. I'm a doer. You know, I always love being busy, because if you're going to see things happen, you need to make it happen. But God, I believe, is calling us to come and be still and know that He is God. Many things deplete that enthusiasm. Do you know, discouragement, distractions, health issues. Do you know, my wife facing health issues, do you know, for years, wearing her down. But I'm just so blessed to see how Annette just presses in and serves God and worships God, despite even sometimes the pain that she's in. But health issues can wear us down. Loss, comparison. There are so many things that can just deplete that enthusiasm in our life. What we feed ourselves can deplete our enthusiasm, our zeal. What we listen to, who we listen to. It's true. Who are you listening to? What are you listening to? What we watch, what we read can deplete that enthusiasm. What's the point? You know, what we feed ourselves, you are, was it someone once said, you are what you eat? You know, I went through a phase really addicted to chocolate, sugary things. And it wasn't just a small bar. I had a massive bar. And whenever I felt a bit down, get the chocolate, because that gives you a boost. But one thing I noticed, that the more sugary things I ate, I became so lethargic. I became so lethargic, and it was just like, God, I had no energy. And I had to start a journey of trying to wean myself off sugar. And I started to get some energy back. And I now don't eat as much sugary things. I still do. I like it. But what we feed ourselves, junk food, what are you feeding yourself? You know, we have God's word. We have God's word that is a treasure trove of truth and life. So, three things of encouragement from these verses. Then I'll be nearly finished. I'm not sure how long I'm supposed to speak. I'm just looking at my wife's eye because normally she gives me the nod. Okay, you've said enough. Quickly, three things. As it says there, be joyful in hope. And that is my encouragement to you. Be joyful in hope. Be joyful in hope. Do you know, the Phillips translation of Colossians says, the secret is simply this, Christ in you. Yes, Christ in you, bringing with him the hope of his glorious things to come. The hope of glory is the fulfillment of God's promise to restore us and all creation. Do you know, we are in times when people are starved of hope. But there is hope. And the church are carriers of that hope. And the encouragement from Paul here is to be joyful in hope. We are children of God. You're a child of God. You are blessed by God. Jesus is coming back for his church, his bride. We will spend eternity with Jesus. I mean, that is good news. That is good news. No more sickness, no more pain, no more crying, no more death. We have an inheritance in Christ. He is our hope. And Paul's encouragement is to be joyful in hope. So we try and get happiness from the world. You say to your world, what would you want from life? Just to be happy. Just to be happy. Happiness comes from external circumstances, from things. Joy comes from the inside. Joy comes from the inside. The joy of the Lord is my strength. My strength. Second thing, patient in affliction. Does anyone need patience here this morning? Where are all the impatient people this morning? You've got one standing here speaking to you. I want things to happen like that. James, isn't it? Chapter 1 talks about let endurance finish its work in you. It's in the waiting and in the trials that patience is worked out. I mean, I don't know what James was on when he says, be joyful when trouble comes. Do you know what I mean? Who prays for trouble to come? No one. You would be off your heads to pray for trouble to come. But trouble does come to our life. And James is encouraging us, be joyful in that because it is an opportunity to let your faith and maturity and perfection come to your life. So let us welcome it. Talks about lacking nothing. James is saying you'll lack nothing. Patient in affliction. Do you know, in these times that we are in, I believe we have to hold on and be patient in our trust in God. So my encouragement to you is don't pray to get out of it quickly. Just say, God, work in me. Work in me through this trouble that I am facing. Third thing is being faithful in prayer. Be faithful in prayer. Be faithful in prayer. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Keep pressing in prayer. You know, I believe God is turning up and the church needs to turn up the heat and prayer. Prayer is the catalyst, I believe, for change in people's lives, in our communities, in our nation, in the world. Prayer, I believe, helps ignite that passion, that fire again in our lives. Prayer brings the presence of God into your situation. Prayer brings that presence and his perspective. Do you know Nehemiah? I pray through Nehemiah 1 many times as he looked at Jerusalem and the destruction. And what he came before God and he wept before God for Jerusalem. And I believe God is bringing the church to a place where we are coming together in prayer for our nations. And again, my prayer is God, break my heart for what breaks yours. God, I want to get by just to God, bless me, bless my family. Get me through this week, amen. I believe God is taking the church deeper. How do we get there? How do we get from where we are to where God wants us to be? Then it's got to start with an encounter with him. It takes an acknowledgement of, God, this is where I am. I'd rather be somewhere else. God, I want to be here. I don't know how to get there. But God, I need you. It's a humility. God, what is my spiritual condition? Show me today what my spiritual condition is. Do you know, Jesus, isn't it, talks about, or John in Revelation talks about hot, cold, lukewarm. Do you know, are you hot? Are you passionate? Have you got zeal for God? Are you cold? Maybe circumstances in your life have just caused you just to go cold. Maybe lukewarm. Well, it doesn't really matter. I'll just keep going on with my life. But I believe for the church, for our lives, that God wants us to be on the boil, enthusiastic. When we meet our neighbours, that they see something in us. Why are you so joyful? Because Jesus is my hope. Do you need a fresh encounter with God? do you need? I want you to ask yourself, God, do I need a fresh encounter? I think I know what God would say. And so I'm going to ask you to stand. In fact, I'm going to ask my wife to come as well. So one of the things that God has been challenging me, I hope I've got time to do this, is to be quiet. You know, I'll tell you, there was a time when, in fact, a few months ago, in my head, as I'm speaking, I'm saying to God, God, I'm bored with this. And God says, well, stop talking. And I just stopped. And I told the people, let's just wait on God and see what he wants to do. We've been talking about this power. Well, let us wait and see the Holy Spirit come. And we stood in silence. And we saw God begin to touch people's lives. Do you need a fresh encounter with God? Let's just be, just for a few minutes, just still. If you want to be in a posture, what we love to do is just put our hands out there. We're just like, God, here I am. God, we're waiting on you. And even now, you begin just even talking to God. God, show me. What is my spiritual condition today? Do I need to be joyful in hope? Are you telling me to be patient? Are you telling me I need to come before you in prayer? Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come. Come, Holy Spirit. 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 Holy Spirit, we just acknowledge that we need you. You know, as I prayed for this day, there was a picture that God had showed me of someone, don't know who that is, and I saw that you were on fire. But then I just saw two hands with a bucket of cold water, and they just threw it right over you. And that fire just went out. The fire went out. And I saw that person just standing there drenched and thinking, how am I going to get this fire back? God, why? And you have been asking God, why? How has this happened? And then I just saw, just like fire from heaven come and just ignite your heart again, to ignite your life. Do you know, like Elijah on the mountain, as he threw water over that sacrifice numerous times, and fire from heaven came and ignited. And I just sense this morning, do you know, in your disappointment, if that fire has gone out, in that discouragement, as you sense that the fire has gone out, it's coming to that altar, that being that living sacrifice, and just coming before God and says, God, I am here, and I give you my life, and I give you my disappointment. Would you ignite that fire again? And I believe God is going to just ignite your heart again. Father, for whoever that is for, Lord, come and ignite, send that fire into their heart. I ask in Jesus' name, come. Come, Holy Spirit, ignite that fire again. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, just wait another few minutes. Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.
I just also sense for someone that I seen a book and the book was lying open and the page was turning, and I just sense God was saying, it's time for a new chapter. What's gone is gone and it's past, but this is time to step into this new chapter that God has for you. And you don't know what that entails, but I just sense that God is saying, are you ready for an adventure? It's time to be on an adventure story. It's time to have some fun. So, Father, I thank you for your word. And I just pray that over whoever that's for, Father, or for the church, that, Father, you will take us on an incredible adventure with you.
Yeah.
Lord, our eyes would be fixed on you, and you would be the one steering us and directing us in this journey that you've called us on, this adventure where we would have fun. Well, there'll be many ups and downs, but Father, you are there at the center of everything.
Yeah.
That we put our hope and our trust in you, Father, because of who you are. So Lord, I just speak that over this church. It's a new season and it's a new chapter. And you are holding the pen, Father. So I thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, thank you.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Would you put your hand on your heart for a minute? I'm just going to pray that God would just come and put a fire in your heart this morning.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Do you know He's the one that can melt our hearts, can soften our hearts. You know, sometimes life hardens our heart.
Thank you, Father.
Sometimes in life we want to protect our heart. And so we build a wall around it, because we don't want to be hurt again. But I just sense that God is wanting to come and just bring just that kiss of life to our hearts.
Thank you, Father.
To put that fire of zeal in your heart.
Thank you, Father.
For some, it's like the paddles that go on a heart to jumpstart the heart again. I just sense in the Spirit that is what God is wanting to do for some people, just to jumpstart your heart again.
Thank you, Father.
And Father, this afternoon, I ask for every hand on a heart that you would send your fire.
Thank you, Father.
Lord, would you restore hearts, Lord, to where you desire it to be. Lord, even from where it once was to where it should be now, would you bring that restoration of hearts? Would you come and just kiss hearts this morning back to life?
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, fill every heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
Fill every heart. Holy Spirit, come. Come and breathe into our hearts,
Jesus, thank you.
The breath of life. And so let your fire come.
Thank you, Father.
Father, I pray the blessing of God on this fellowship. Lord, on the leaders. Lord, I pray wisdom. I pray strength. Lord, I pray encounters with the living God. Lord, that this church, as Father, it journeys, Lord, and seeks you, that you would do more than they could ever ask or imagine, because that is the God that you are. That they would move from seeing as believing to believing as seeing. As they believe what you say, they will see, Lord, a supernatural God do supernatural signs and wonders in this house, in people's lives. Lord, salvation. Lord, we pray salvation in this house. You're the one that changes hearts. And so we pray the blessing of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, bless you. Thank you for being patient with me. And just pray God's blessing on you. Thank you, John.